can't read the small print. The reading's Genesis 37, 1 to 11. Joseph's dreams. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind.
Thank you. Great. For me, I preached, I'm going to give a message 2 weeks ago. So that was the first message for the new year, and I always think that's an important message. But I must admit, when I started to think about my message 2 weeks ago, the first message of the new year, I kind of had lots of different stuff, Kem. And I had to sort of work it through. And then in the end, what I did is I kind of thought, there's two messages here. So I split my kind of New Year message in some ways. So for those that were here will remember, hopefully, those that wasn't, 2 weeks ago, as we stepped into this new year, 2024, I talked a little bit about Moses. And I kind of talked about one of my favourite parts of the Bible, actually, which is kind of in Deuteronomy 30, where Moses kind of basically gives his last sermon, his last message to the people of Israel as they prepare themselves to step into the promised land. And I said he wouldn't go into the promised land. He saw it, but wouldn't step into it with them. It would be Joshua that would lead them in. And what Moses does in that moment, I said, didn't he? He looks back. He looks back at the journey the people of Israel had come. And he says, look how God had been with you and how faithful he'd been. He'd got you out of Egypt, he'd been looked after you in the desert, and all those kind of things. And they said, what Moses did is he looked at the now. He said to the people, look, now we stand here on the edge of something. Let's just renew our covenant. Let's just renew our promise to God. Said, look, we're his people. You're our God. Let's renew that again before we step forward. And then the final thing he did is he looked forward into this promised land that God had already promised that we're going to step into. And God and Moses did that. And then the second thing I did 2 weeks ago, if you remember, is I looked at Proverbs 3. And I said that Proverbs 3, there was some great advice in there for us about living as God's people, choosing life. We saw that verse, didn't we? And Moses said to the people, choose life. And we said Proverbs 3 gives us some real helpful advice about what it means to choose life as God's people as we step forward into this new year. So that's what I did last time, but then I had this other stuff that I was thinking I was going to put into that message, but I thought if I put into that message, it'll just be too long. All right, so I had to split it up. And the first thing I was going to talk about a little bit was what I think, because we just come out of Christmas, haven't we? And, you know, many of us at Christmas had our Christmas dinners and we were probably pulling our Christmas crackers. And if you're like me, there's only really one prize you look for on a Christmas cracker. I don't know about you, you know, I don't look for the nail clipper thing or, you know, the little puzzle that you get. And that's not the prize I'm looking for when the crackers are being pulled, all right? To me, there's one top prize that I always look out for. Do we think we know what it is? Not the screwdriver. The what? Not the joke. No, it's actually one of the prizes. Hey? It is. That's it. It's this. This is the thing that I always look for when I think it's changed this year because I thought it was to do with the love fish. But actually it says it's the emotion teller fish. I think that's changed that. And the idea is, isn't it, you put it on your hand and if it curls up or if it sort of, you know, goes in a certain way, it tells you your kind of your emotional state or whatever. You know, what does it say on here? If you move it, if you're jealous or if you're in love or you're fickle. One of them says you're the dead one. That's not great, is it? I was like, okay. Or if you're passionate. All right, so Ernie, put your hand out. Any hand will do, I think. And we could just put it on that one. Now, don't touch it. You've got to see what the fish does while it's in your hand. And let's have a look. We're going to go for...
Oh, it's curled.
We're going to go... Particularly the tail has curled, hasn't it, really? Moving tail. It says, for you, it's independence.
Independence.
Oh, it's jumped off. I don't know what that means. It's jumped out of your hand. There's no thing for that one at all. Independent. Would that describe you?
I don't know what it means. Give me a dictionary.
There you kind of look after. Well, you do look after yourself, don't you, and that kind of thing. So,
well, and
you are at the moment, eh? Who knows? The emotional fish is a bit of fun, really, when in a Christmas cracker. And this idea that it sort of tells you something about you or your future or whatever like that. But what I was thinking about that is that I like to think we think it's a bit of fun. But I realise that some people kind of take things like that more serious. You know, they kind of look for things as if, you know, some people turn to things like horoscopes or crystals or... kind of things, and they kind of look to those sort of things sometimes to sort of give them this kind of what they're going to put their trust in, I suppose. And yet, I think they're just false hope. Those sort of things, I certainly wouldn't even dare to put my hope into that. And so, one of the questions at the start of the new year that I wanted to ask us was sort of where do we put our trust? Where does our hope come from? That's a really important question, I think, for anybody, for any Christian as they step forward into the new year. And I suppose for me, you turn to Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, and it just says this. The psalmist says this: I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And that's our prayer, isn't it, this year, that, you know, as we step forward into this year, I know we've moved quite a way into it at this point, but as Christians, as God's people, it's important that where we put our trust, where we put our hope, and the psalmist encourages us to put our trust and our hope in our Lord God, our sovereign, almighty Lord God. That's where our hope should come from. But the second thing that I started to think about, and again I had to sort of in this mix of my first message of the new year, but I didn't go into, was I'd read something. And I'd read somebody's thoughts regarding the events of the year. And what this person was doing, he was looking back over the year, and we were doing a bit of that, and he said it was full of D words, words beginning with the letter D. And here's the words that he said were part of his journey over the last year. Dreams, disruptions, disappointments, delays, delights, diversions and doubts. And when I read those words, those D words, I thought to myself, well, actually, sometimes each day can include quite a lot of those words at times. We can just go through a day and have some of those D words mixing into our day. So I wanted to think about those D words a bit more. And to think about them, I turned to a Bible story. And eventually I went on to see a film clip, which I'm going to show you a little bit later on. But the first thing I want to do is I want to look at some of those D words around a Bible story. And I want to think a little bit about them for us. And the Bible story that I want us to think about is I want to go through scenes or events in the life of Joseph. Joseph in the Old Testament. And if you don't know the story through the Bible, you probably know it through the musical, if nothing else, all right? Desperately not try not to sing to you today. And it's really hard for me to not sing, but I can't promise. But I will, that we are going to look at the life of Joseph, Mr. Technical Dreamcoat Man, you know, today, which is in the Bible, which Pete read a little bit for us. And as we look at his story, I'm sure what we'll see is some of the D's, these D words. And perhaps as we look at his story and we see some of these D words, we'll relate to them as part of our own story as we look back. But also we can understand that probably some of these D words will be with us when we move forward over this next year. They'll come and be part of what happens to us. So I want to look at some of those D words from the life of Joseph and then a little bit through a film clip. So the first word I want to look at is the word dreams. The Bible tells us that Joseph was a dreamer. Genesis 37, verse 19, his brothers see him coming along and they say, that's his nickname, they say, here comes the dreamer. When Joseph was about 17 years old, he dreamed about gathering some grain in the fields with his brothers. Joseph's bundle of grain stood tall, but his brothers' bundles of grain bowed down to Joseph's. Later, Joseph had another dream in which the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to him. These dreams, we're told, did not impress his brothers. But I want to ask you the question, in some ways, is do you have dreams? And I think it's important for people to have dreams. And when I talk about that, what I'm not talking about is those random dreams in the night when you're being chased by a giant donut. Or is that just me? I don't know. Is that just me? Oh, I thought everyone had those. I'm not really talking about those weird and wonderful dreams. I'm not really talking about being a daydreamer this morning, though I would like to say that God can speak to us in and through dreams at times. I'm not sure God is speaking to me through the giant donut dream, but God can use dreams and our nightly dreams to speak into our lives, so I'm not dissing them in any shape or form. But what I am talking about today is just having in our lives what we might call aims or goals, hopes, vision, dreams, purpose. See, I believe that they should be part of our faith journey. And I feel that they need to be God-inspired in us as God's people. I think God wants to inspire us with hopes and dreams and visions and aims and things to push for and go for. I think he wants to do it for us individually as Christians, you know, because we're all individuals to God. And we've all got individual stories that God wants to tell, be part of us. So I think God wants to plant in individuals dreams, hopes, things that God will put on your heart that says, look, this is for you. Let's move towards you. Let's move forward with this dream or this hope in you. I also think God does it for us as a church. I think it's really important that God does us good, puts dreams in us as a church. At our prayer gathering this week, we looked just briefly at Proverbs 29, verse 18, where in the Bible it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I think as a church community, we want to have vision. We want to have dreams. We want to have hopes where God might take us and lead us more into the things of Him, that we might be more impacting in our lives, in the community, that we might be a place where we take out the gospel and more people are touched by the gospel. The kingdom grows through us. That God does even greater things when we come together in His name and He touches us. I think we have to have visions. We have to have dreams independently and as a community of people. Dreams fuel us. Dreams drive us on. So kind of a question is, what dreams might you carry as we step into this 2024? Are there dreams that God might just want to put on your heart? They might seem small, but maybe in God's eyes still very important. They might feel really big and you think, wow, that could never happen. But maybe that's still a dream that God just wants to lay on you. And if He lays it on you, He can make it happen because He's the God of the impossible. But I'd like to think that we carry dreams and hopes and things that we're going for. Joseph was a dreamer. I think we need to be dreamers. The second thing, words I want to pick on, is this word disruptions and diversions. And we know that about the life of Joseph. You know the story, and I'm kind of hoping that a lot of you do. I'm not going to make massive explanations. But Joseph had many disruptions and diversions, even while he was following his dream. So, for example, he ended up in a pit at one point. His brothers didn't like his dreams and they threw him in a pit. That was a bit of a diversion for him. Then eventually he got sold to some Ishmaelites. So that was a bit of a diversion or a disruption. And then after he was doing quite well at one point, he got thrown into the prison. So again, another disruption or diversion to his story. And we probably know that things don't always work out the way that we hope or that we've planned. It doesn't always work out that way, does it? Before Christmas, we looked a little bit about the life of the journey of Joseph and Mary moving towards Bethlehem. And we used that picture, some of you were here for that one, when we talked about our plan and God's plan. And our plan might be like this. And God's plan's like way ups and downs, and it's over, you know, kind of rocks and up valleys and down mountains. We might have a plan. We might have a kind of a sense, this is the dream, or this is my hopes, and this is where I want to go, God, and this is where we believe you're leading us. But the chances are, like with Joseph, there'll be disruptions, there'll be diversions along the way. What's, I think, important is in those times, we remember God's promise that He will be and that He is always with us. That's really important, but just remember that as a nugget. You know, because as you move forward this year, disruptions, diversion, you might not be put in prison, you might not get thrown into a pit, but they'll come. Some of you know that already, they've already come. Just remember God's promise that He is with you. He'll always be with you. That's a promise you can hold on to. And then the next word was the word disappointments. Another one of these D words that sort of seem to become part of life sometimes. And again, I was thinking about Joseph. See, Joseph had a number of disappointments along his journey. For example, his brothers let him down big time, didn't they? He had a real disappointment because he was part of a family with his brothers and they threw him in a pit. They tried to kill him, basically. That was a bit disappointing for him. And then eventually, a little bit later on, he became the head of a household, Potiphar's household, we're told. Okay, and that was my main part when I played Potiphar. But What happened was there was a bit of a problem with Mrs. Potiphar, and she ended up kind of lying about him. So he got thrown into prison. So disappointments that his brothers let him down, Potiphar's wife let him down. But also in the story of Joseph, you've got this cupbearer. So some of you know that Joseph, while he was in prison, interpreted dreams of two people who used to work for Pharaoh, a baker and a cupbearer. And he interpreted them in slightly different ways. When he interpreted the cupbearer's dream, it was a favourable interpretation. And Joseph said to the cupbearer, "Oh, just remember me when you get your job back. When you get out of prison, when you get your job back, just remember, I'm the one who told you about the dream and what would happen to you. Just remember me, won't you?" Genesis 40, verse 23, "The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him." Disappointing, isn't it? It must be for Joseph. Disappointments. And there will be disappointments. Times when we are let down. Times when we're let down by life. Perhaps we're let down by people, even those closest to us. There may be times when the church lets you down. Can only apologise in advance, but it will probably happen. Because it does. There will be disappointments in our journey. Alison talked last week about the importance, didn't she, of, in the different circumstances, staying true to our character. I think that's really important. That whatever, when those disappointments come, when we get let down, when people don't do as we hoped, and that we still stay true to our character as God's people. That's really important. And we always need to remember that we have a faithful God. He won't let us down. People will, situations will, things will happen, but God is faithful. He won't let us down. Let's keep going. Let's look at the word delays. That was one of the D words. You know, Joseph had his dreams when he was about 17 years old. Joseph, we're told, was about 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And so we can presume by that he was probably in his late 30s when his brothers came to Egypt because of the famine, and they bowed down to him not knowing who he was, which was basically the fulfillment of the dreams. 17 when he had those dreams, and he said to his brothers, "Hey, well, I was gathering the sheaves in the corn, and mine were stood tall and yours were like flopping down before me. Hey, I had this dream about these stars in the sky, and all yours were flopping and were bowing down before mine." Brothers didn't like it, and then he had these diversions and he had these delays that went along. But eventually, 17 years later, his brothers came to Egypt because of the famine. He was Pharaoh's number two. We know the song. And they bowed down to him, not even knowing who he was. The fulfillment of the dream, 17 years later. And again, when we look at that, we remember, don't we, that God's timing is not always our timing. We've said that so many times. It just reminds us that we've got plans, we've got hopes, we might even have a time scale. But, you know, God's timing is not always our timing. We will put dreams in us. I hope we'll put dreams in us. I hope he'll give us vision. And there'll be things along the way, but his timing is not always ours. That can cause frustration in us at times. And we have to hold on. Then there's the word delight. I like that word. That's a bit more positive, isn't it? Delight. And you know, when Joseph, he had delights on his journey. He had a delight when his dad gave him that special coat. What a delight. His dad comes out and says, "You're my favourite. And I'm going to give you that special multicoloured coat." What a great moment for Joseph. He must have loved that moment. He must have loved it when he was put in charge of Potiphar's household. A little bit later, thrown in the pit, went into prison, sold into slavery, went into Potiphar's house. And eventually we're told that he's put in charge of Potiphar's house. So that must have been a delight for him, wouldn't it? That a good moment for him. He got promotion. He had a good job. He must have been quite delighted when he became Pharaoh's number two. So he came, you know, the Pharaoh, the leader of the whole land, when he came out of prison eventually, and he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams and he told him about the famine that was on its way and how they had to save the food up and all that. And Pharaoh said, right, you're the man. You're going to be number two. You're going to get all the benefits of being my number two. That's a pretty cool moment for Joseph. That was a delight on his journey. And then it must have been quite a delight when his brothers came and bowed down before him again. Fulfilled his dream. And not only did his brothers bow down, which must have been a delight, that actually then he had this massive family reunion when he revealed himself. And then he got his father to come as well. So along Joseph's journey, as long as these diversions, as long as these delays and that kind of thing, there were delights. And I really pray this year for every single one of you, really, that there will be many delights. I pray that there'll be loads of blessings this year for every single one of you, for all of us as God's people here. I pray that you'll see God's, you'll see prayers answered. I pray that there'll be glorious God moments this year for you, God encounters, God, when God just meets you in special ways and reveals something more of himself to you. I pray that this year you will have lots of delights, lots of blessings, lots of moments. And then finally, I just needed the word doubts here. And it said Joseph must have had some doubts at times. And probably we'll have some doubts at times as well. It's okay. And you see, when you have the full story of Joseph, we know now, don't we, that God was always at work in the story of Joseph. And I believe that God is at work in our story. We might not always see it, we might not always understand it, but God is at work in our story. He is the miracle worker, the promise keeper, light in the darkness. Even when we don't see it, he's working. Sue's testimony is that. Really, isn't it? I'm sure we'll hear at some point. You know, that sense of, God, where are you? What are you doing? But then suddenly we start to see his hand at work. And we see the miracle worker doing what he does best. So I just wanted to use those D's. And when I thought about those words, I'm going to have to go pretty quick, but I was trying to think that Proverbs 3 gave us some advice for the new year, and I was thinking my advice for the new year. Just three things really quick. First is just this year, hold on to God. Hold on to God in the good times and the hard times. Don't let God let go of God. Hold on to God. Stay close to God. He's faithful. He's solid ground. Remember Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. Micah 3 verse 6, I am the Lord, I the Lord do not change. Psalm 119 verse 89, your word is eternal, Lord. Sorry, your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Hold on to God this year. Take him wherever you go. You know, we always joke, don't we, like we take our phone wherever we go. Take God wherever you go. Put him into everything that you do this year. Hold on to him. The second thing I want to say is give thanks to God this year. Have an attitude this year of what we call gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 says, be thankful in everything, all circumstances, in all those deeds. Look to be thankful this year. And I know that's not always easy. But when we are thankful, I believe it changes our perspectives. Not the right word. We see things in a different way. It reminds us who we are. It reminds us of who we belong to. It reminds us of who God is. Look for and acknowledge the blessings that will be part of you this year. They may be small. You know, I've got a meal on the table. I'm awake for a new day. They may be major. You get a new job. job, a birth of a child. Look for the blessings. Let praise and worship and be thanksgiving be ever present on our lips this year. That doesn't mean when we're not okay, we can be honest about it. We can still be honest when we're not okay. We can still lament. That's different from moaning. But it's being honest. So it will be difficulty, but try and let praise and worship be in all the circumstances of what we are. All those deeds. Then the third thing I'd just put here is live for and serve God this year. It's like one of these wall plaques. You get them, don't you? You can buy them in these nice, you know, you probably get them in places like the Range. We were talking about the Range last night, weren't we? You know, one of these wall plaques that say live, love, serve. They remind you, stick them in your kitchen for whatever reason to be trendy. But in some ways, it's a good one. If you had a live, love, serve one, the point they might not say that. It'd be good for us as Christians. That's good advice for us from, you know, it means daily acknowledge God in our lives. Daily take up our cross to follow him. Be active in our faith. Be fueled by service. Be excited about being a vessel for the kingdom of God. If I was to give you those, any advice, I'm not as good as Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3 is a lot better than mine. But hold on to God this year. Give thanks to God in all circumstances and aim to live and serve God daily in who you are. But it just took me to my film clip. And I thought, everyone's seen this film. And then I talked to some people this week and they went, oh, I've never seen it. So, because that's how God speaks to me. But who's seen the film The Truman Show? Come on, just put your hand up if you've seen it. See, there's not that many. Either they're not because they don't want to put their hand up because they think someone will pray with them or something. But anyway, so if you've never seen The Truman Show, quite an old film now, but it's a film with Jim Carrey in it, okay? And the concept behind it, it's a bit like Big Brother, but in Hollywood blockbuster style, okay? And what happened, what you've got is Jim Carrey is born basically into a TV show. And the whole TV set and the whole everybody else are actors, but Jim Carrey is real. He thinks he's living his normal life, but it's a TV show. And as he gets older in the film, Jim Carrey starts to realise, actually, this is not quite right. There's more. There's something more than this. And eventually, Jim Carrey kind of dreams of seeing what's out there. He wants to get out of the TV show and he wants to see what's out there because he knows what he's in is not all that there is. And he kind of has this sense of that. So what he does is he gets in a boat, tries to travel in a boat. That's quite significant because there's a bit of a storyline in the film about his dad had meant to have drowned in the water. He didn't do it, except they're all actors. But this storyline, so that it made Jim Carrey scared of water so he wouldn't leave the TV show because it was surrounded by water. But Jim Carrey, in this scene, gets in a boat because he's got this dream of getting out of this situation. And even that in itself is quite important because I think sometimes he had to overcome his fear to move out of into his dream, I suppose. And sometimes we might have to overcome something, maybe something like fear, for God to lead us towards our dreams. We're going to sing a song about that in a minute called Oceans, about letting God lead us out into deeper waters where we might not be as comfortable, but our trust is in him. Sometimes we have to overcome that. But you see, so what we're going to do is we're going to pick up the story of Jim Carrey. He's got this dream of trying to get out of this TV show, but he's not even quite sure it is a TV show. But you'll see him and you'll see the director because they don't want him to leave because he's the star. He's the only star. So they try and stop him from leaving the TV show. So I'm going to show you he's in the boat. He's on his journey. He's trying to move towards his dream. And this is what happens to him. It's in. That clip. I want to just relate really quickly that clip to what I've been sharing about today. Jim Carrey's in this boat. It's heading towards kind of a dream. It starts off, the water's calm, but then the waters get rough and heavy and stormy. That's life, isn't it? That's life. Sometimes this year we'll have calm, quiet waters, but sometimes the chances are there may be some storms. But this is the bit that really spoke to me at first. Jim Carrey, when the storms come, he gets hold of that rope and he holds on to the rope when the waters get rough. And that's partly what I'm saying to us. The rope for us is God. Whatever's ahead, whatever the diversions, the disappointments, the delays, the disruptions, hold on to God. That's what I'm saying. That's what God. And I thought, right, that's the end. I've sorted. That's my message. Done. Bang. And God said, watch it again. I said, well, I've seen the clip now. I don't need to watch it again. He said, watch it again. So I watched the clip again. And God spoke to me again. Because right at the end, he's not holding on to the rope. He hasn't got the strength. He's been battered by the waves. What's happening is the rope is holding on to him. That's for us as well. Whatever you go through this year, hold on to God. But there'll be times when it gets so rough that God will hold on to you. That's his promise. Never let that promise leave your heart. God will hold on to you, whatever the storm. You know, finally Truman makes it. Spoiler alert. Finally he gets to a door. Some of you will know it really well. He hits the edge of the TV show that's being created around him. He hits the wall kind of thing. And he finds a door. And they try and stop him from going through it. And he says these words, in case you don't see me, good night, good evening. Sorry, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Because that's what he says in the TV program. He goes through the door and he starts a new adventure and he starts a new dream. It's only a film. I do know that. But there's something for us in that. As we kind of travel, as we go through this year, like I say, it's the sort of second part of my start a new year, I suppose. We don't know what's ahead, diversions and delays. I hope there's lots of delights, I really do. Blessings and God, fresh encounters. Hold on to God. Be thankful. Try and live for God. Believe in his promises. And even when you really can't, I believe that if you're in that position, God will hold on to you and he'll look after you. And I know some of you even need to know that now, because you've let go because too much. But God says, well, you might let go of me, but I'm not letting go of you. And I'll take you through. I'll take you through the storm to new dreams, to new adventures. Amen. We're going to sing that song. It's a song.